And yet there's this power struggle in marriages so many times where if the husband is not taking care of the wife and really taking care of the home, the wife automatically has to take the leadership of her home, or her home would be destroyed. So I really want to challenge you men here today, and you women, to get focused biblically. What does the Word of God say?
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're glad you've tuned in for our continuing focus on helping you nurture your marriage in godliness and faith. Exploring the mistakes Adam and Eve made in Eden, Roel will urge you to stand united with your spouse, not allowing Satan to take advantage of any weakness or division. Stay with us to see that God will strengthen your relationship when you humbly submit to Him and to each other. Now, with the continuation of our study, Marriage Must Be Tested, here's Roel Reese in Genesis chapter 3.
There are three areas that Satan always attacks. He attacks the Word of God, he attacks the deity of Jesus Christ, and he attacks the work of the Holy Spirit within the life of the believer. And the reason is because he is a serpent. He always wants to deceive people. He's a deceiver of the world. He is also a liar and a murderer. The Bible says that. He also is always disguising himself as an angel of light. And then he always misuses the scriptures. Always adds to the Word of God or takes away from the Word of God. And then he's always trying to scheme concerning Christians. How can I deceive this person? How can I destroy this marriage? And you know, when we looked at chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, what a perfect setting. God created men, God created women, brought them together. They were happily married until we get to chapter 3, as we studied last time when we met. When the woman began to hear the voice of deception, we really don't know where Adam was at this particular time in chapter 3. But it seems that her husband was separated from her, and when Satan saw that her husband was not there, the serpent came in full power for the juggler to kill the woman. And I think of how many marriages today are being attacked by Satan. And yet God has called every one of you males here today to be the spiritual heads of your homes. The Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. The one that is supposed to be loved. The one that is supposed to be nourished. The one that really, truly can become a helpmeet to you. But most of the time, this doesn't happen with married marriages because the husband, first of all, doesn't even love his wife. Doesn't take care of her as Christ took care of his church, you see. And I think it's of importance that we understand that the serpent came into the Garden of Eden, Satan behind the deception, transforming himself into an angel of light. And the first thing we see in chapter 3, verse 1, is that Satan, when he sees the opportunity of loneliness, he begins to challenge the Word of God. He begins to challenge the Word of God. And how does he do that? By putting doubt into the mind of the woman. Putting doubt. Does your husband really love you? Oh, I don't think he really loves you. If he did, he would be with you. And all of a sudden, the woman found herself as Satan began to put all these doubt into her mind. And when the time was right, then the serpent said, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Did God really say that? Is that really in the Bible? Do you really believe it in your own life? And the woman answered. She should have never answered. But because her head was not around, she took the position of leadership, and she began to speak to Satan, to the serpent. Not only did she speak to the serpent, she added to the word of God. And when Satan saw the weakness of woman adding to the word of God, he took full advantage of destroying her and destroying her husband. Destroying her husband. Because she said in verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it." She should have stopped there. This is what she added. "Nor shall you touch it, lest you die." God never said that. God never said that. She added to the word of God. And when Satan saw the door open, what does he do? He contradicted. He contradicted the word of God. The enemy sees the opportunity with the weaker vessel. As I see so many marriages today that are being destroyed because, you know, the head of the home, the strong pillar, the strong tower, the male is not taking the leadership of his home, as God declares in the Bible. And the woman becomes now the head, taking care of the children, taking care of the needs in the home. While the husband is not only working, but the husband's playing. And think of how many homes have been destroyed by a husband having other relationships with other women or wives with other men because they fell out of love in their own marriage. And women have been hurt and male have been hurt too. And when Satan sees that actually a husband and wife or a home is divided, Satan has a great opportunity of coming in and destroying that home and the children and the mother and the father. Just think of all of the hundreds and thousands of divorces in America today. Think about it. Children that have been hurt by divorce, having a second marriage or a third marriage or a fourth marriage. We're going up to 5 marriages now. And that was never God's will. God said one man, one woman for the rest of your life. And maybe you're sitting here today, you're a Christian today, maybe you made that mistake before you came to Christ. God says all things are forgiven, all things become brand new. But if you are a Christian today and you're married, and you're thinking of divorce and you're going against the word of God, you're going against the word of God. It's not the unpardonable sin, but at the same time, you will sin against God. It's really important that only God can redeem your marriage and God can bring peace to your marriage if you're willing to submit and surrender your life. It's not about you. It's about Him. And yet there's this power struggle in marriages so many times where if the husband is not taking care of the wife and really taking care of the home, the wife automatically has to take the leadership of her home or her home would be destroyed. So I really want to challenge you men here today and you women to get focused biblically. What does the word of God say? We have the example. Eve was deceived by the serpent. He began to challenge and to contradict the word of God. He said, the serpent said to her, "You shall not die. You're not going to get caught. Nothing's going to happen to you. Just do what you have to do. For God knows that in the day that you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll become like God, knowing good and evil." Notice, defaming the character of God. Defaming the character of God, Satan. But the woman listened to the serpent. She was in a weak point in her life. Look what it says in verse 6. The woman's disobedience to God's word. "So when the woman saw the lust of the flesh, the tree, that it was good for food, and that it was pleasant, the lust of the eyes, and the tree desirable now, notice, the pride of life, to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." Now we see her husband at her side, and he's eating of the same fruit. And this is now where the first marriage in the Bible comes to a fall, comes to destruction, where God has to intervene or Adam and Eve will be lost forever and they would not have a second chance. Even as God in every Christian marriage steps in, He never leaves the marriage. He's always there before us. But the problem is not God. The problem is us. We don't listen. We're not honest with God. We're not honest with ourselves. You say, what do you mean? Well, look what it says. Beginning with verse 7 through 13 now. The voice of love. Notice that the eyes of them both were open. As soon as they partook of that tree, what happened? Their eyes were both open. Here we see at the beginning of the first marriage that Adam and Eve, the first thing they do is that their eyes are open. And the second thing they see is that their awareness of their sin. Notice what it says. And they knew that they were naked. Notice that in verse 7. That they were naked. And thirdly, they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons or coverings for themselves. There was a guilt that they were carrying and they tried to cover it up. They never knew they were naked in the Garden of Eden. But now they do. And they're ashamed. Guilt. Because of sin.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. For Bible-based resources to help you better understand the mind and heart of God, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com. You can also download our free app for digital studies, live-streamed Bible teaching, and much more. Now back to more with Roel Reese.
In verse 8, and they heard the Son of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife, notice, instead of running to God like before, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What happened? When you're living a life of sin, the presence of God is not with you anymore. There's no anointing. The Holy Spirit is grieved because of sin. He can't work until there's confession, until there's repentance. And there's this acknowledgement. Sin always separates me from God. Sin always makes me hide. I'm ashamed of what I'm doing. And we see that in the Garden of Eden. Next, we see in verse 9 that the Lord God called Adam and said to him, where are you? God's challenge now to men. When he's calling out to men and to women, notice he calls out to the leader of his home, not to the woman, to the men. Where are you? You have to be responsible. You have to be accountable to God. And here we hear the sound of the voice of God, not in anger, not trying to beat down the man or the marriage, but it's an actual voice of a father over his son when a son has fallen with a broken heart. Son, what happened, Adam? Where are you? What is God looking for here? God is looking for confession and repentance, not excuses. Where are you? What happened, Adam? That's a question that God continues to ask in almost every marriage. And listen to his answer. And he said, like most husbands, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Notice, no longer in communion with God. But here now, Adam confessing to God that fellowship has been broken. Fellowship is broken with God and Adam. God trying to get men back into fellowship. But notice what it says in verse 11. And then he said, God tells Adam, who told you that you were naked? First question. Again, what is God looking for? Confession, repentance, humility. Who told you that you were naked? Giving man an opportunity to repent and confess his sin. And then God says, have you eaten? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? How many times God will come to the husband and say, listen, you got married in the Lord and you heard the vows that you made and you know what the Bible says. Why aren't you keeping according to the word of God? That's why your life is a mess. And your marriage is a mess. If men don't take the right of leadership and become the spiritual leaders of their home, you'll be just like Adam. And your wife will suffer. And your children will suffer. And your relationship will suffer with God. Until God gets your attention like Adam. But you know what? Men are just like Adam. We start making a bunch of excuses. And the first thing we do, guess what? We blame it on our wives. You don't believe me? And then the man said, the woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. That's where it all started. Mark it down. Put a big star by that. The next time your husband comes to you, say, remember the star? Right there it is. But it's so sad how people are always blaming their wives. Blaming their wives. And then the wife doesn't blame the husband, but she says, the devil made me do it. Look at verse 13. And the Lord God said to the woman, he says, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. You see? Nobody wants to repent. Nobody wants to say, I'm wrong. So then how can God heal the relationship? Adam and Eve were not honest with God when they sinned against God. So what does God have to do? He has to intervene. He has to step in. In verse 16 through 19, we hear the voice of God's judgment. God has to judge sin. So what does he say? So the Lord God said to the serpent, now it's judgment against who? Satan. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And then in verse 16, and the woman, he said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bear forth children, and your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And all the men are saying, amen. There it is. No way, you guys. What he says there is you'll rule over her in God's love. In God's love, not with a rod of iron. Not with a rod. You need to learn your right place in the body of Christ as a father, as a husband. And the woman needs to know her place in the home, that she's underneath her husband. When Paul the Apostle is writing the epistles on marriage, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. God never says to the wife, love your husband. Why? Because when a husband loves his wife, the wife will do anything for her husband. But if a wife is neglected, she will not do anything for him. That's just the way it is. That's the way God created them. Real important to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's why here he says, and then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. This one time he should have never listened to his wife, but he did. And have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns. Here's the first time, if you want to make a mark on your Bible, where thorns are mentioned. Where do we hear about thorns in the New Testament? The crown of thorns that Jesus Christ took upon the curse of men. And thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herbs of the field, and in sweating your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. Notice that. We're going back to the earth because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. But our spirit and our soul goes to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. So important that we understand the curse. And then the voice of God's grace in chapter 3, verse 15 to verse 20 to 24. The first promise of the Redeemer that would come to redeem the world. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Notice that. Your seed is who? Notice, Satan was going to be separated, and all of his angels. And then notice the word seed in big capital letter, speaking of who? Jesus. And Jesus shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Imagine that. Speaking of Jesus coming and becoming the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the ruler of all things. And that the snake would be defeated, Satan. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. That's what it means. And also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God had made tunics of skin and clothed them. What is this? The first atonement in the Bible, if you want to make a note. The first atonement made by God. Otherwise, man would be eternally lost forever and ever. God killed an animal. Notice, probably a lamb. And gave the blood and sacrificed it, and then brought the skins and placed it upon them to cover their shame. To cover their shame and their sin. And he clothed them. And then check this out. This is amazing here. Verse 22. And then the Lord God's protection, notice, said, behold, the man has become like one of us, capital U-S, speaking of what? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. God says, if man comes back into the garden and grasps from the tree of life, they'll be dust for the rest of their lives. So we're going to protect it. God protected the marriage. God protected the man and the woman. Not for their own sake, but for future generations, you and I. We would have been dust. We would have been lost forever and ever and ever and ever if Adam and Eve would have eaten of the tree of life. We would have been gone. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. And then he drove out the man. Notice, we were driven out of the garden now into the secular world. And then he placed a cherubim, an angel. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, a flaming sword. Notice, speaks of the holiness of God, which turned every way to do what? To guard the way of the tree of life. To keep us from living in darkness and in sin forever and ever and ever. God made the possible way of protection so that husband and wives can live forever. And they can have a godly relationship with God and their children.
Well, mistakes are a given in married life. But it's good to be reminded that when you and your spouse respond to each other with respect and forgiveness, God can fortify your relationship with fresh strength. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson is titled, Marriage Must Be Tested. If you'd like to get a complete copy with much more teaching, just call us at 800-634-9165, and for a donation of $5 or more, we'll send a copy to you. Now, as you look for ways to live out the vows you made on your wedding day, we'd like to tell you about Raul's 20-part marriage series. It's available on CD and thumb drive. You'll learn how to grow in your individual roles as husband and wife while keeping God at the center of your home with more time spent together in the Word and in prayer. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call us at 800-634-9165 to order Rawls' marriage study. We'll send you this 20-lesson CD collection for $35 or the flash drive for just $25. Our number once again is 800-634-9165. Or you can write to Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese is fully listener-supported. We're grateful for your partnership and thank you for your contributions. Join us next time as we continue this series with a look at Scripture's clearly defined parameters for marriage. While the world's view of this relationship has shifted away from a lifelong commitment between husband and wife, God's plan and design remain unchanged. Now, here's Raul with the closing comment.
But husbands, you need to humble yourselves. And you need to be the leaders of your home, spiritually speaking. And wives, as your husband becomes the spiritual leader of your home, you need to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And allow God to work in you and through you so that He can do whatever He wants to do in that marriage because of your children's future in the kingdom of God. And if you're here today and you find yourself divorced, or you're going to be divorced, or you're already married in a second or third marriage, don't be condemned. Remember, we live by the grace of God, not by the law of God. Just don't make another mistake. Correct your mistake by repenting and taking the leadership of your home and being a godly husband and a godly wife in the presence of God and among your children this morning.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.